Welcome to Classical Conversations. I'm Haley Taylor. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I am so excited to have Laura Downs, piano soloist, join us again, as I interviewed her previously for Classical Conversations, but she's back as we talk about her new album, Reflections, Scott Joplin Reconsidered. Laura, thank you so much for joining us today.
It's a pleasure to be here.
So as I mentioned, I interviewed you, I think, over 2 years ago, which seems like a lifetime ago, as it was before the pandemic. I believe we were talking about Holes in the Sky. And now to look back on that time and to where you are now, I mean, can you think about the last 2 years and think about how your process has changed, if it has, over the course of being a musician, being a recording musician in a time of pandemic?
Well, I learned a lot of things. Bought some mics. You know, I think that the pandemic was such a transformative time for many of us, just in terms of digging into what we could do and what we wanted to do, you know, finding the ways to communicate and finding the ways to be active and engaged and useful, I guess, in some ways. So I did a lot of recording during the pandemic under very different circumstances. You know, I was fortunate to have a situation at home that did allow me to record. I had an album, a studio album, that came out in April of 2020. So, you know, just as everybody was understanding the reality of the pandemic, that was a really surreal experience to kind of shepherd this music into the world at a time of such, I mean, chaos, you know. And then I found that the recording was just really a way for me to, in a way, make use, you know, of the time that wasn't so taken up with touring. I launched a record label a year ago in February of 2021 that's dedicated to recording music by Black composers, music that's never been recorded before or that really needed new recordings. And so that's been a real passion project during the pandemic, and something that I think has had actually, you know, a lot of impact in the industry, because there's just so much music needing to be recorded and so many stories needing to be retold.
Mm-hmm. And I know that this new album, again, Reflections, which is your newest release on Rising Sun Music, I want to talk about that in a moment. But first, again, to talk about this new label, Rising Sun Music. You know, you were so productive during a time when so many people seem to really be taking a backseat to kind of calm down during such a wild, hectic time. But creating your own label during 2020 sounds like quite the feat. Was it something that you had been planning or wanting to do for a while? How did conversations get started around that?
Well, I've been working for many years in sort of the realm of unknown and unheard music, you know, just kind of excavating the American musical landscape for the music by women, by composers of color, just the stuff that hasn't been central to the canon for no good reason, right? And along the way, I have grown to understand the huge wealth of music by Black composers. And it's not just the music, it's a whole story and reality about American music that we don't understand because we don't know the music. So I decided that it was really essential to create kind of a digital hub for that music for the purpose of telling this story as an organic whole. And so Rising Sun, you know, seemed to be the way to do that. A big part of that, frankly, is connected with radio, because I think that radio is such a powerful medium for sharing music and, you know, just casually with listeners. Like, we understand so much of what we understand about music because what we hear on the radio passing by, or, you know, tuning in and in a sort of an unplanned way. It's a beautiful place for discovery. And I think that the fact that these recordings now exist on the airwaves is really essential to integrating them into the, you know, the American, what we think of as our American sound.
And then to bring now Scott Joplin into this collection of, you know, musical pioneers onto this label. Scott Joplin is someone who, you know, many people think of like Maple Leaf Rag and the Concert Waltz and very well-known tunes, but the name of this album is Scott Joplin Reconsidered. So for you, why do you believe that his music needs to be reconsidered in today's day and age?
I think we tend to interact with the music, well, with the music of many artists, but I think it, particularly with the music of Black composers, we tend to interact with them on one level. And Scott Joplin is such a great example because, you know, in his day, he was incredibly influential. He more or less invented ragtime. You know, certainly he was a driving force in the success and the popularity of ragtime, which for many reasons is an essential stepping stone in American musical history. And then but it was a short-lived period. Ragtime disappeared pretty quickly in the 20th century because jazz took over and then everything else that was to come. And then Joplin had this revival in the 1970s because of the recordings of Joshua Rifkin and the movie The Sting, which meant that many, many people know three pieces of music by Scott Joplin, and that's all they know, you know, and there's this whole other reality and so many dimensions to his music and his life story that I wanted to share.
That's such a good point because I remember the first piano that I received was practically almost a toy piano. It was this little electric, it had like 50 keys, but it had this set of songs that you could play. And one of them, of course, was The Entertainer, which I feel like every piano has. So there is this familiarity with his music, but not so much with him as an individual and as an individual composer. Did you find that there was any surprising plots or little storylines in learning more about Scott Joplin that you were surprised to find?
I think the reality of how short his life was and how short the lifetime of his music was, I think that's the big takeaway. Just that he's working in the turn of the century. He wrote The Entertainer in 1902. It's literally the dawn of a new century, and you could say of, you know, the American century, right? So everything is changing in terms of where people live and how they live and how they get there and what they do for a living and just, you know, the way that we live our lives. And it's changing so, so, so fast. So the fact that ragtime kind of explodes, it moves from being a Black tradition into the white consciousness. And that happened in 1893 at this giant World's Exposition in Chicago when people heard this music for the first time and it just totally took off. And then, you know, when he sells Maple Leaf Rag, it's said that they sold 1 million copies of the sheet music during his lifetime. So this is just like a huge, huge, huge moment, but it's so fast. And by the end of the 19-teens, it's over. And Joplin died in 1917 at a very young age. And the idea that this innovation of his, this creation of a brand new genre, of a brand new sound, that it happened so quickly and that it passed so quickly, that awareness of how quickly he innovated, you know, to create this totally new genre, this totally new American sound, this new art form, and how quickly it passed. I think that, to me, was the big takeaway.
And, you know, speaking of innovation, especially on this album, and of course the whole idea with the title Reflections, Scott Joplin Reconsidered, you're playing with your own house band, but really interesting arrangements of, again, some of these well-known classics. Some of these feel like they're brand new pieces of music. As I mentioned earlier, Maple Leaf Rag is very well-known, The Entertainer, but you've taken The Entertainer and reimagined it as a piano and mandolin duet. Was there this exciting quality for you and your house band, who I'm sure you know very well and have played with many times, looking at a piece of music that is maybe tired in some people's ears because they do hear it so often, and having this challenge of making it sound brand new and exciting all over again? What was it like kind of delving into these standards and trying to make them feel new and fresh?
I just really felt that it was an opportunity because I think that this, again, is a place where the reality of Joplin's life is really clear. He's writing these things for piano because they're meant to be played on piano, but also because the way that everyone's making money at the time is by selling the sheet music, and they're selling the sheet music so people can play this stuff at home in their parlors on their pianos. So, you know, that's kind of like the commercial center of this music. And so to step back from that and think, well, but what would Joplin have done if he had had all kinds of resources? If he could have just imagined this music however he wanted it to sound? And I felt that there's so many colors and textures and possibilities in all of these tunes. Maple Leaf is a great example. You know, there's this exuberance, there's this like joyful kind of multi-layered energy. And so to bring strings and clarinet into that just let us explore that aspect of the piece. And with the entertainer, yeah, I was not just going to sit down and play the entertainer again for the, 2 millionth time. But that was just, it was so fun. I was looking at the sheet music and I realized that the answer to that had been staring at me the whole time, because Joplin dedicates the entertainer to James Brown and his mandolin club. Mandolin clubs were this very popular thing at the turn of the century. So I thought, yeah, well, let's take this right back to that place and do it as a duet with mandolin. And I really love the way that turned out.
The album, is kind of bookended by selections from Joplin's opera, which I don't think many people know of. Can you talk a little bit about that 1911 opera and again, tackling that work on this album?
So Joplin's early life is kind of full of a bunch of different influences. He was born in Texas just 5 years after the Emancipation Proroclamation. So it's, brand new reality for Black Americans. His father had been enslaved and both of his parents played music. So what he's hearing at home are like plantation melodies, spirituals and just plantation tunes. And at the same time, he's figuring out how to play the piano. He was just really drawn to the piano, and there were pianos in the houses that his mother was cleaning. So he's sort of teaching himself piano. And by the time he's 11, he's taking lessons in classical music from a German Jewish immigrant who ends up in Texarkana, who, sees his talent and teaches him with no charge. And so that's the beginning of his musical foundation, this immersion in classical music, and that doesn't go away. And throughout his life, he didn't just write the one opera, he wrote two operas, he wrote a ballet, but the opera Tremonitia was kind of at the heart of his musical vision, and it was the great dream of his life, and in the end, it was the great disappointment of his life. He moved to New York in 1907 with the goal of getting this opera funded, produced, performed, and with the insanely ambitious idea of writing the first Black American opera at a time when no one's writing American operas. Opera is a European thing, and he wants to write this opera that's based on a Black story of life in the rural South and is combining different styles. It's combining the symphonic writing with the influence of ragtime, and he tried so hard to make this a reality, and it was just too soon. It was really, I would say, a decade too soon for the American public to accept such a thing.
It's so sad, but at the same time, it's so wonderful to still have these selections. The prelude begins the album, and then a real slow drag finishes the album. It's so wonderful to have them bookended on this new album, Reflections. As we finish out the interview, I feel, as I remember our previous interview together, but also just the work I feel like that you consistently are involved with, all involves the idea of hope and looking forward and positive energy. And for this album, what are your hopes for when people listen to it and for when people get connected to it, and what do you hope that they experience while rediscovering music of Scott Joplin?
I think it's really important for all of us who are making music and listening to music and loving music to get to, understand as much, as broadly, as deeply as we can about the music we love. So I hope that that's what this does, is just kind of reopen our eyes to Joplin's incredible existence as an innovator, as a pioneer, as someone who really did make possible everything that came after his short time on this planet.
And I'm so happy to be able to share your experience with his music, but also to have our listeners experience it themselves. Again, this is Reflections, Scott Joplin Reconsidered, the newest album from Laura Downs from Rising Sun Music Series, and available now, and I'm so excited to bring it to our listeners. So thank you, Laura Downs, for joining us today for Classical Conversations.
Thank you so much for having me.